Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice Andrew. Brianne filling in for Sam, who's back on Monday. What'd you say, horse sabbatical?
Yes.
He's got her.
A pony-related sabbatical.
Pony sabbatical. back on Monday. I'm sure she'll appreciate that description.
We do have comedian Brian Miller, Representative Nick Zerwas coming in tomorrow for the Friday roundtable. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. We're going to give away a four-pack of tickets. We have a lot of prizes tomorrow, actually. We got a four-pack of tickets to Acme.
Okay.
Right? With Brian's comedian contest.
Right.
We've got a... tickets to tables, ladders, and chairs. Another pair of tickets to the WWE event happening Sunday at the Target Center.
Okay.
And we've got tickets to the Vikings-Ravens game.
Oh, wow.
All on tomorrow's show.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
That's a lot. There's not going to be a lot of time for roundtabling.
Maybe I should bring back the parody song contest.
Maybe you should. I thought I had a great one earlier this week, only to find out the reason I had a great one was because I heard it on the parody song contest. I was walking around singing "Bidet Makuska,"
yeah,
"Bidet Makuska." Used to be Lake Calhoun, but now it's not. And then Drew was like, "Yeah, dude, it was a parody song." And did that
back in like May.
Well, you got it in your head. Well, you know, stuff kind of flies in and flies out, intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. Oh, speaking of flying in and flying out, I stopped off over at. Was a beer guy or whatever across the street?
liquor boy.
Right.
Yeah.
So, because I ran out of Zima right at home. I actually have one bottle still sitting left in the fridge.
Right.
So I went to stop by yesterday to buy something. They still had a lot. They had a lot in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, real cheap.
Did you buy it all?
No, I didn't buy it. No, I don't have that much money. I bought a case. I was going to buy two, but I was embarrassed.
At this point, why? You've publicly owned your love of Zima.
There's a difference talking into the mic as opposed to standing and being a grown man in a Star Wars t-shirt standing in front of a guy with one case, let alone two. Because you just can't. Perception equals reality. And I can't stand there with this case of Zima and not imagine what is going through that dude's head right now.
What do you care? What do you care?
You're right. You're right. You are absolutely right. You're right. I didn't know. You know, I didn't say anything. I still bought it. Right? I was going to buy two, but that would have required two trips in and out of the store.
Like your high school days and get someone to go in and buy it for you.
Yeah, well.
Hey, will you, while you're in there, will you pick me up a case of Zima?
Yeah. Is that how that works? I totally don't know. Now, truth be told, it's going to expire here in about a month, and I don't think I'm going to be able to go through a case, you know? And
with that attitude.
It's a very good point. You know what? I'm just going to get to the relevant news item in front of me.
You're so defeatist.
I know. Well,
believe in yourself, John.
Yeah, well, you know, I have a family and I want to set a good example and, you know. And
they sleep.
I have nightmares of my children getting older, you know. And my dad, boy, he used to just get sloshed on this thing called Zima when I was a kid. Go on a Zima bender.
He gets so mean.
Right. That's what.
I just remember, you know, you see him down there on Sunday watching NASCAR and drinking Zima.
Leave me alone! Junior's not doing well. Melinda's going, you're surprised by this? Get up!
Made me watch The Phantom Menace over and over.
All right.
Horrible.
All right, now you're hitting below the belt. Just stop. Let's talk about relevant things. Star Tribune. The possibility that the Minneapolis City Council could be dominated by a left-wing majority after next month's election has prompted... Stop. Hold on. Is there any chance they're not going to be dominated by a left-wing majority after next month's election?
What do you mean the possibility? They already are, and everybody running is just going to continue that, of course.
Now, this has prompted... Okay. An unprecedented late push from business groups to protect council members they view as open to compromise with businesses. Okay. So they want to protect individuals that they feel maybe open to compromise.
And that line right there is funny in and of itself. Because they're not saying we want to support pro-business candidates.
Right.
Right? Because there aren't any.
No.
No, they're just desperately looking for candidates that maybe might every once in a while not do something that harms the business community. They're desperate for just one or two glimmering little lights of a hope. Like, oh, you're not totally insane. You don't hate business, so I guess we'll support you.
The whole thing, as we work through it, the whole thing has this this vibe of kind of how, at least for me personally, have felt. Like, you're not really going to go there. You're not really, oh, you're going there. That's what it, and it feels like this group that's gotten together has gotten this, oh my gosh, they're going there and it's already bad and it's going to get worse. We need to at least feel like we've done something to mitigate the damage. Leaders of the Minneapolis Regional Chamber of Commerce, the Downtown Council, and Building Owners and Managers Association sent a fundraising email out with the subject line, a call to action in Minneapolis. It's warning donors, don't be filled with regret on November 8th, and asking for money for a political action committee called Minneapolis Works to pay for mailings and efforts to get out the vote. Rather than the high-profile mayoral race, the focus is on the city council elections. Steve Kramer, president of the Downtown Council, says, I've lived here and been active since 1979, so I've seen a few of these come and go, but by far this is the most consequential. He goes on to say, what's at stake here is not whether we're a progressive city or not. We are. It's whether we're going to go down the rabbit hole on policies that we think would be very destructive to the community. And then when you see this in the past 18 months, the Minneapolis City Council has approved a $15 million wage, a paid sick leave ordinance, and restrictions on sales of menthol cigarettes, all measures opposed by the business groups. What they're worried about is things getting worse. Kramer and his colleagues downtown saying that could very well happen. Rent control, another run at municipal scheduling ordinance, and talk of additional taxes on income or developers are their top concerns. Young progressive candidates backed by calls for change at City Hall have gained traction, and allies of incumbents such as City Council President Barb Johnson are worried. The last thing we want is for Barb to lose her seat, and then who becomes the president of the council? That's a terrifying thing, said Joanne Kaufman, president of the Warehouse District of Business Association, which has formed its own political action committee on Monday. And the question that I have is, is it too little too late at this point? Yeah. I mean, or maybe a final push to at least try to sway some of these elections, but it just seems like they should have been, no offense to the group, I'm glad they're doing something, but they should have been on top of this a lot sooner.
Like, the business community in Minneapolis is, you're right, they should have been organized and they should have been more active for a long time, and maybe have tried to do whatever they could to prevent it from going this far and getting this bad for the business community there. But that's in the past. Now we're at a point, and we've talked to business owners on this show a number of times, and I've talked to many off the air who don't want to go on the record, and they all say the same things. There's a legitimate fear of sort of sticking your neck out and sticking your head up, a fear of retaliation, basically. You know, they won't come out and say it that directly, but, you know, nobody wants to be that one business who stands up and says, hey, what you guys are doing is really, really bad for the business community. You're doing a lot of damage. Look at all the restaurants that are closing in downtown Minneapolis. Look at all the restaurants that are closing over in St. Paul, because they've adopted a lot of the same approaches. And if you keep down this path, it's just going to accelerate that process. So they don't want to be that guy.
You talk about dominated by left-wing majority, right? Thinking it's going to get worse. This is their version of worse, and they're right. Okay. So the email soliciting donations went on to highlight Ginger Jensen, a socialist candidate for the council seat that'll be vacated by mayoral candidate and council member Jacob Fry. If you thought it was impossible for a committed socialist to run on a platform of rent control and establishing a municipal income tax to pay for social engineering, meet Ginger Jensen, they wrote, adding that she is the leading candidate in the third ward. Jensen, whose most recent campaign finance report shows that she's raised more than $60,000, said the business groups are just protecting their own interests. Oh, heaven forbid that a business group protects its own interests. I mean, talk about, at least she's being upfront, right, in her.
They act like, well, you just need to shut up and just take it. Just right. Take all the things that we want to do. We want to force you into all these programs. We want to force you to provide your employees with all these things that they think we need, that we think they need. And you need to just shut up and take it. How dare they?
These bold ideas of raising rent control and taxing big developers to pay for affordable housing are in the interests of working class people, said the socialist. My words. My role in the council would be helping to set that agenda and being firm in whatever room I'm in. Oh, my gosh. No wonder they're running scared. The email from the individuals also singled out Felipe Cunningham, who's running against Johnson in the 4th Ward, and Janae Filsrand, who's running against Councilmember Lisa Goodman in the 7th Ward, highlighting the challenger statements that the city could one day get on without a police department, which is another aspect of the things they're worried about. It's like left and further left.
Yeah, ridiculously left.
Minneapolis Works, according to the latest campaign finance report, was formed and initially funded with $10,000 from Steve and Lucille Min, developers, and with contributions to the downtown council, Kramer, and Weinhagen. The group is also asking corporations to donate to the Minnesota Jobs Coalition, a Republican-aligned organization which will funnel money to Minneapolis Works. No money has been received through that mechanism yet, according to Kramer, however. The incumbents, the group's support, such as Johnson, Goodman, council members Kevin Wright, and John Quincy, have hardly been in lockstep with the business community, Lewis said, and that they've been criticized for not being progressive enough was a wake-up call to business leaders. When they're painted as conservative, that's, I think, what really got us so mindful of what's happening in these elections.
Yep, and they are. I mean, the progressive activist community is on an all-out attack against those council members. And we've seen the same thing with, like, Tom Hoke running for mayor. He's described as, and when they're describing it, it's not a compliment.
Right.
You know, very liberal Tom Hoke is described as the most conservative candidate in the race and one who's got a real chance of winning.
Yeah.
They say with, you know, hushed tones and concern and furrowed brows. Well, if that's how far left it's gotten in Minneapolis, man, the business community is screwed.
Well, and that's why they've formed this. And I hope that they can help get the word out. At least at a bare minimum, there needs to be. The best that they can hope for, in my opinion, is maybe sway a couple of these that might be close, maybe bring some more attention to it, but also at least send a message to those individuals who are running that there is a large contingent out here that's not all in for everything that you guys want to do.
Right.
At least apply some pressure so that when that new council is elected and they start moving forward on new policies, that at least they'll have a louder voice at the table because of an impact that potentially they can make in the election.
The progressive community, the activist community, is not going to stand for this, though. I mean, they want the business community to know loudly and clearly, we're the ones in charge.
Yeah.
You don't get a seat at the table. And if anybody in the Minneapolis City Council dares to speak up and stand up on your behalf, we're going to drum them out.
651-989-5855. We're going to get to your phone calls here in just a moment. Use that hashtag TCNT on a Twitter. Story out of St. Paul. Food container debate produces impasse over green outreach. There's some really funny notes out of this entire debate and the switch towards recyclable and compostable to-go food containers. It's all coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
Justice.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew, 651-989-5855, talking about this business coalition and trying to
how dare they
do whatever they can to sway the Monsters. Election. Got to keep the socialist out of the Minneapolis City Council.
They just and even framing it that way, I think, is buying into the progressive narrative, doing whatever they can to influence other. No, they're just trying to have a voice. They're just trying to find some little glimmer of representation on the city council that is so gung-ho on making decisions on their behalf and then running out and taking credit for them.
You know,
making these businesses make sacrifices and change the way they operate so that they can pat themselves on the back and take credit for it.
How
dare the business community look for someone to stand up and be like, maybe you don't want to do the $15 hour minimum. Maybe we don't want to ban styrofoam takeout containers. Maybe you don't.
Stop. They're just looking out. You know, they're just looking out for their own best interests. Yeah,
they're just a bunch of greedy millionaires.
Let's talk to
all these small business restaurant owners, greedy millionaires, just trying to pad their bottom line.
Let's talk to Tom in St. Paul. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Justice and Drew. What are your thoughts?
Good morning, guys. You know, the question I would have for the socialist candidate is, please tell me what Venezuela did wrong that you plan to do right.
Everything. All of it.
There's that old saying that socialism works until you run out of other people's money.
Yeah.
And, you know, say what you will about Trump winning. I think it was the last gasp of the great unwashed pleading for somebody to take them seriously. But as those blue spots grow beyond the metropolitan area, we're done. And you guys are absolutely right. We got to stand up to this, but I'm no longer sure how.
Yeah, that is the problem. And unfortunately, like the only how that a lot of times we end up landing on is that, well, when things hit rock bottom, then maybe people will wake up. Because don't forget, this isn't their... These individuals are running on these platforms because they believe they're going to get support and win. And they believe they're going to get support and win because the people out there support them. So it's so circular in nature. And the only way, and again, I'm going to go there. The only way that it does change is, one, you do have to speak the truth. You do have to fight the nonsense and counter it whenever you can. But unfortunately, a lot of times the only way that people end up changing their mind on certain issues is when they have to go through the very things that they've been told were going to happen by those of us that were arguing against it. And those things take time. And it's an unfortunate reality of it. Hopefully the business community can sway these individuals into supporting candidates that are less progressive and less far, far left than the individuals running. But these people get support because people support them.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Barb Johnson, the one candidate that they are more afraid to lose. You've got a quote here from Joanne Kaufman. The last thing we want is for Barb to lose her seat, and then who becomes president of the council? She says that's a terrifying thing. She chose the word terrifying to describe Barb Johnson, hardly a conservative, hardly a great friend of the business community, losing her seat. They're terrified of that prospect. But even Barb Johnson disavowed the support that this group wants to put out for her. She's so afraid of being painted as even remotely friendly to the business community that she had to publicly disavow their support. I don't want to be painted with that. I hate business just as much as these guys.
Right.
All right. I want to do as much damage to the business community as the socialist. Don't paint me with that broad brush.
There was one little nugget in that article of what this business coalition, this PAC that had formed, was trying to do. And one of it was, I believe, was voter turnout. And this is something that doesn't get discussed very often, but a big, big part of the problem is that when you look at the number of registered voters, and this, you can take this little rant and apply it to wherever you want to apply it, where elections are held. But when you look at the number of registered voters versus the number of individuals that actually turn out on election day, it is no wonder that certain individuals keep getting elected over and over again. If you had everybody turning out, maybe not everybody, but the majority of people that were registered to vote in Minneapolis turn out to the election who were actually paying attention, right? You would see a difference. If they can get a percentage or two here or there, you can make a big impact. But that voter outreach and getting those people engaged is really, really difficult, especially in times like these, because there's a whole huge group and segment of the population out there that's checked out. They don't want to be a part of it. They're done. You know, the decisions that get made, if they're not business owners, don't really affect them. They go about their daily lives. They've created the world around them that they like. Politics doesn't really enter into the mix. They're registered to vote. They may even pay attention a little bit to what's going on, but they don't want to get involved. And those are individuals that would probably be on the side of business owners and probably be on the side of a lot of conservative and Republican candidates. But they've so checked out and disconnected and probably have for a long, long time. Getting those people to get active again, to actually get out to vote, to reach out to their friends who probably feel the same way in their same bubble, is an incredibly difficult difficult task. But that's back to that caller, and I guess I feel better saying this. What is the answer? Well, the answer is, you know, better outreach and voter turnout and trying to re-engage those individuals who aren't engaged.
Yeah.
And that has to happen on a one-on-one basis. You can do it through PACs. You can do it through, you know, outreach. But when it really comes down to it, it comes down to you and your friends, the people around you. Are they voting? You know, are they involved? Right. Are they paying attention? Do they realize where Minneapolis is heading?
And the business community has to get more. They have to get. I mean, I'm glad they're organizing now. I'm afraid it's a little too late, too late for this election cycle. But if they want any chance of having, you know, a sustainable economy in Minneapolis where they can do business and they can thrive, they have got to band together. They have got to work together. They've got to get political, and they can't be afraid of taking on the progressive activist union community that is dominating Minneapolis right now. They're gonna have to take them on heads up because there's nobody else that will.
Right. I fear the best that they could hope for is that when the elections are over, if they don't have an impact, is that they stay together as a group so that when these issues, when the rent control comes up, right, that they have a voice, they have an organization.
It's coming.
And they can, they can go there and let their voice be heard loud and clear to try to at least stop some of the pending damage.
Corey, good morning.
Hello?
Corey, go ahead.
Good morning, Corey. Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk. What are your thoughts?
Hey, I was wondering if they could get, if Donald Trump would be a good fit to come to Minneapolis for CD5.
I don't think so because he's currently sitting in the Oval Office. But that's a phone call.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a little occupied.
Let's go here. Out of the Pioneer Press. Mayor Chris Coleman's office. You did. Credit where credit is due for Breanne filling in for Sam. You did put a fair caveat on that, so I'd appreciate that. Mayor Chris Coleman's office and St. Paul's Department of Safety and Inspections are showing little enthusiasm for spending another year encouraging store owners to voluntarily switch towards recyclable and compostable to-go food containers. This is your, by the way, this is like your equivalent of the story we had at the Boston school that was canceling Halloween for the orange and black spirit day.
This warrants a visit to the never ending parade.
The city council voted 5-2 against requiring the restaurants, convenience stores, and other eateries to make the switch outright. Okay, so they voted against making the switch outright. Instead, the council members opted to give city staff another year to help connect them to environmentally friendly container vendors.
This is what equates to being business friendly in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Just giving them a year's notice that they're going to institute some more onerous requirements and mandates on them. That's as friendly as it gets.
The council is expected city staff to pursue a grant from Ramsey County to pay for the additional 12 months of business outreach and education. Why? Why do you need a grant to we want more in encouraging. I am so over city leaders, and I know I get what I'm about to say, but I'm so over city leaders playing like they know anything about helping businesses or the environment. Because they're doing neither. They're neither helping the business nor are they doing anything to help the environment.
But it feels good.
I don't care how it feels. How do you think it feels for the business owners? Oh, thanks. Thanks, St. Paul City Council, for giving us another year to think on this. This really wasn't all that difficult to think on. I can probably spend 2 minutes on Google to find an environmentally friendly container vendor. I don't need another year. It sucks now. It's going to suck then. I love this idea. Like, this is a painstaking. Oh, it's taking. You know what? We want to ease the burden. We'll give them an. I mean, if I was a business owner, I'd be like, fine, I'll take the year. Fine. I'll take the year. On Wednesday, the DSI staff and the mayor informed the council members by email that after roughly a year of outreach, they would not devote another year of staff time to the effort without a guarantee that the new rules would be adopted. We got a message from the Department of Safety and Inspection saying they're not going to do these resource fairs.
Resource fairs. What a horrible fair. The worst kind of fair.
No thanks.
Resource fairs.
Yeah, the Ferris wheel, you know, you don't want to ride it. It's all made of recyclable, compostable material. It looks really rickety.
This is petty. This is a petty reaction from the mayor's office and the Department of Safety and Inspections. They wanted these rules passed. The rules didn't get passed, so they're like, "Nah, well, we're not gonna do it." They would have had to do this anyway. They were already planning on doing this if the rules had been passed.
Right.
But now that they're not, they're saying, "Well, now we can't." And now we're not going to because you didn't pass our rules. They want to guarantee. Basically, they're trying to use leverage and bullying to get the council to commit to passing these rules next year because they're mad they didn't pass them this year.
I'm telling you, man, you know, if I ever ran for office, I would just run on the platform of, look, I'm going to do as little as possible. My goal would be for you to hear from me as little as possible. If you, my goal is for you to forget. After you vote me into office, I want you to forget who I am. Because I don't, that's how little I want to be involved in your life.
Right? A good city council should be like a good offensive line on a football team.
Yeah.
When they're doing their job well, you don't notice them.
Yeah, you just
don't notice them.
You just don't even notice they're there.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
You know, they all want to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
They all want to be Tom Brady. Everybody on the city council wants to be the superstar quarterback that gets all the attention and gets all the credit.
Yeah. All I would need as a business owner is just stop by on occasion and ask me how I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And who are you again? Oh, good. You forgot who I was. I forgot. You voted for me. I am your council member. I represent you and your district, your ward. I'm John Justice. I know you may have forgotten what I look like, and that's okay. But I'm just here to say, is there anything that you currently need from me?
Right.
No, I forgot who you were, but things are running good. Good. That's great.
Okay.
That's
great. Bye. Leaving.
If you need me, I got my phone number. If you need to call me. If not, don't expect to see me again for like another, maybe I'll pop in another year. Or I'll tell you what, when do you want to see me? You know, if you want to, you know, don't call me, I'll call you. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm totally good. I'm totally good. That would be my platform. Yeah. And I would not win.
And you would not win.
I would not. No. There's not.
Not in Minneapolis, you would.
It's not.
Not in St. Paul, you would.
That's not very social justice warrior-y.
But, John, you're supposed to fix all our problems.
No.
You're supposed to make everybody's life better. That's what government does, right?
Oh, no.
Fixes everything. If somebody's not making enough money, government comes along and tells that person's employer to pay them more.
Maybe.
Right?
Maybe part of the problem is this, before we close the show out, Drew. Out of the Star Tribune, this came out a couple of days ago, right? There's a new study, okay? New report. It says this: having a sense of purpose keeps older adults happy and healthy. Experts advise spending more time on activities that bring joy or using work skills in a new way. It seems like an obvious thing, right? It seems like something you wouldn't need a study for. After making it through middle age, many adults find themselves approaching older age wondering, what will give purpose to my life? Maybe that's the problem. These individuals, where they run for councils, they reach middle age, what will give me purpose? I know. I'll run for office.
Meddling in other people's lives.
Right?
City councils are HOAs.
They are.
That's what they run for.
They are.
That's what they end up running for. Yeah. Purpose in their lives. Now that the kids have flown the nest and retirement is in the cards, and how do they answer the question can have significant implications on their health. Dozens of studies, 2 decades, showed that seniors with a sense of purpose are less likely to develop Alzheimer's, disabilities, heart attacks, or strokes, and more likely to live longer than people without this kind of underlying motivation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? I feel bad for staying home because I just kind of stay. I don't feel bad for staying home because I just kind of stay at home.
That's your purpose.
I do things. That's my purpose, to do things that bring me joy.
You found your purpose.
Star Wars.
It's to watch every movie.
Yeah, it's just not every movie. I'm not seeing that mother monstrosity. I'm going to avoid that like the plague. I have no intention of seeing that, although this weekend's going to be difficult because I've got that Granite Hot Shots movie I want to see, and I want to go see Geostorm.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Geostorm does not look good.
That looks like all kinds of bad and fun.
Wasn't the Snowman open this weekend?
Yeah, I heard that was not good.
Oh, it looks good.
Yeah, I've heard. I wanted to see that. but I've heard some sketchy things about it. We can discuss that on Movie Talk tomorrow after the Friday Roundtable.
That's right. Just keep an eye on the iHeartRadio channel, Justice and Drew. Look for TCNT Movie Talk. It'll be posted up a little bit after tomorrow's show. Brian Miller, Nick Zerwas in tomorrow, plus all the prizes.
All of them.
We've got all the prizes to give away tomorrow.
Might not have time for Roundtable, and we have so many prizes.
All the tickets and things like that to give away. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye. I'm Chris Addison. Here's a